Have you ever lost one of your children, even for just a moment? I know I have plenty of times. You know, you're in a store and your toddlers are next to you, and you grab something and you look down and poof, they're gone. And you're like, where'd they go? And you're all panicked, and you turn around, oh, poof, there they are. And the joy, though, that comes into your heart, you know, after that panic, that terror of losing the child, even for the moment. And later on, the joy of a child who returns home from school or from an overnight or a trip that they've taken. And as I get older, even when they move out, then when you see them again for a visit or you visit them, the joy of coming together again that always seems to come back. The gospel today has come into the vernacular of modern parlance. We often hear the term prodigal son, or just a prodigal, to indicate someone who has left the family, disgraced a team, lost faith, or even just doesn't fit in with the group. The assumption is that everyone knows the story. Strangely enough, many do not know the story. It is interesting, however, that in our society, we seem to dwell on the negative. Scrooge, someone who is cheap and tight-fisted. Grinch, someone who is unhappy and angry at the world, ruining the fun for others. But in the story, Scrooge ends as a man who has changed, and Christmas was never celebrated better than with he. The Grinch also became generous, and his heart grows twice as large. They both end up being beloved characters in their stories. We tend to forget that hope and grace found in this gospel. We're often left to consider which of the characters we are in this parable. We are to consider who is represented by all the characters. The Father is clearly often God the Father, the one we are to emulate. He is called the Father throughout the story, and so the connection is pretty clear. We can at times hope to be the Father in the story, but we have that little bit that holds back when we forgive, and thus we often fall short. We are often placed into one of the son's shoes, the one who leaves, or the one who grudgingly stays and fails to see that all that is there is ours for the asking. Sometimes we are even the local citizen who humiliates the son and doesn't care how he's treated and doesn't bother to keep tabs on his servant's welfare. But where is Jesus in this gospel? I contend he is the younger son, as seen through the eyes of the older son, keeping in mind that Jesus, though man, never did sin. Jesus, with the Father's love and blessing, left heaven. He came into this world to spread what the two of them shared. The Son gave up his authority. Jesus started out his ministry working with all the right people. He started out in the synagogue. He started out with a wedding. And after being rejected, he turned to the lowly. And Jesus himself became a nobody who shared everything he had with those he met. He sought out people in all the wrong places. He hung out with the tax collectors and sinners, the people who didn't fit in society. Jesus was judged as going through his inheritance with prostitutes and sinners. He was judged by the older brother, the Sadducees and Pharisees. Jesus spent his time giving away all he had to any and all who wanted it. He was taken advantage of in our eyes, helping people and not keeping back anything for himself, while at the same time he was hanging out with all the wrong people, eating with them, telling stories, teaching, healing, feeding, and forgiving. Of any and all who asked, he gave. He wanted to go back to his father. He longed for his father, often going off to pray alone. Yet he stayed here because he had more to give and because it was his Father's will. Soon Jesus was in a bad way. Nobody was willing to help him. He was abandoned and left alone, turned over to the authorities by one of his own, abandoned by the rest. He had given the people food and water, yet nobody was willing to help. Those who stayed around stayed to mock him. Jesus wanted more for us and from us. He is hungry and thirsty. Yet when he was crucified, he was given sour wine upon the cross, the lowest form of punishment at the time. Much like the son in the parable, he was feeding the hogs and longing for the fodder from the hogs to eat, the lowest existence for a Jew. Jesus replied, "Into your hands I commend my spirit," and returns to the Father. The son said, "I am your servant, Father, yours to do with as you will," and he returned to the Father. The celebration begins, the wedding feast of the Lamb, an unequaled celebration in heaven. Jesus has returned to the Father, bringing with him the return of humanity to the Father. Love returning to love, in love, with love. The joy of the lost returned. The joy of not one lost sheep, one lost coin, but the lost of all humanity. In the end, both return to their fathers in full glory, given the authority equal to the Father. Though neither one had sought out this end, the Son was willing to go back to his Father as a servant. And of Jesus, it is said, though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not regard equality with God something to be grasped at. Until we understand what Jesus gave, we do not fully understand the gift we have been given. The gift of unity with the Father through the forgiveness of our sins in baptism and reconciliation, with adoption as sons and daughters through the Eucharist, and graces yet to be seen through the sacraments offered to us. The gift of eternal life in union with the Trinity, love itself forever.